All right. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. This is Connor Dunning filling in for Gabe Kuhn while he is out for the next few shows. You can follow me on Twitter at cdunning929. I've got a great show for you today. Actually very excited about it. Got a lot of NBA to get into. News and notes. Ja Morant. Memphis Grizzlies. NBA draft. Much, much, much more to get into. We also need to have the conversation about Ja Morant. That's the main topic of the day for me, is the Ja Morant conversation. Grizz Twitter, Grizz fandom is in an absolute civil war right now. And a good buddy of mine, Anthony Sain, he said, why don't people just try to be in the middle here and understand both sides? And I think that's what I'm going to try to do today. I'm going to try to understand both sides. We're going to break it down. And we're going to try to keep it to as many facts as humanly possible. Gabe and I briefly got into it yesterday, only for about 10 minutes to be really talk about it. But I have more thoughts. And, you know, I've been here for the entire Grizzlies tenure. I grew up in Memphis, watched it. I understand the nuances involved with the conversation about Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. So we will get into that. Today I'm joined by the king himself, George Stradamus, as he's been calling himself recently, King George, George Ruggiero. Follow him on Twitter at KingGeorge94. George, what's up, man?
What's going on, Connor? This was a little bit of a peek behind the curtain because this was so funny. This was either yesterday or Wednesday. It was definitely yesterday. When we got in here, or at least when I got in here with Jeffrey, this is right after the Isaiah Stewart trade, which somehow I just completely pulled out of thin air the day before.
Well, thank you.
And Jeffrey just looks at me from across the glass and goes like, what's up, George Stradamus? I was like, you have no idea what I've just been calling myself all day.
It's better than Italia, George. I think that so. We can all agree on that.
It was also really funny because then Jeffrey looks at me and goes, I think this just shows that we work together every day.
That's true.
I was like, you know what?
That's true.
You got me there.
but we will get into some more Isaiah Stewart conversation at 4 o'clock. Because at 4 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by one of my favorite people to talk basketball about. He's actually going to join us for the entire second hour, Parker Fleming from Substack Elitist. He is an NBA draft expert. I think Cam Boozer's biggest fan on the planet. So we're going to get into that. He's going to tell us a little bit about Kareem Lopez and, you know, Saunders, the Isaiah Stewart trade. And then the second half of that hour, we'll get into all the NBA news and notes, mostly focusing on things like the Trae Young extension, LaMelo Ball trade, the Jalen Duren situation happening in Detroit. We had another Detroit Pistons trade today with Isaiah Joe. I'm going to be honest, I kind of like what they're cooking up there. I understand them moving off of Isaiah Stewart if it opened up some avenues for a few things going on. But before we get to Parker Fleming at 4 o'clock, at 3:45, I'm going to be joined by someone who I'm very excited to talk to. President of the Memphis Touchdown Club, Greg Cotton, is going to join us. The 2026 Speaker Series presented by Landers Auto Group has been announced. And, George, it's a fantastic, fantastic lineup this year.
Loaded
lineup this year. I was talking to Brad Carson about it. I we've been partners with them for a few years now on the Memphis Touchdown Club, and I think that this might be their best lineup yet. And I am particularly excited about November 1st, which is going to be a Sunday. Charles Huff, Memphis head coach Charles Huff, is going to be one of the speakers. If you would like to get your seats for the Memphis Touchdown Club, go to memphistouchdownclub.com to purchase your 2026 Memphis Touchdown Club membership or individual meeting seats. The membership cost for this event is, for all 10 events, is $550. Individual meeting seats cost $65. And remember that all of the Memphis Touchdown Club events benefit Le Bonheur Children's Hospital. Absolutely love that it is all going to that. After we get done talking to Parker Fleming from 4 to 5 p.m., we will be joined by CBS Sports' David Cobb. We'll pick his brain about the NBA draft. I want to also talk to him about Nate Amendt. He is somebody who watched him up close and personal the entire season, given that he is a Tennessee Volunteers basketball fan. And I want to see what his true opinion of Nate Amendt is, because it's so interesting. I feel like he is the least talked about lottery pick of the year. I don't really know what to expect from him. I want to know what David Cobb expects from him for this NBA season. After we talk to David Cobb, David Cobb will do the blitz at 5:30, then close it out with the rewind. So, George, John Morant.
Oh.
John Morant, it's complicated, man.
I know.
It's super complicated.
Yeah.
I understand with Ja right now, there are a lot of emotions involved. And to be honest with you, this thing has been drug out longer than I wanted it to. I think longer than most people wanted it to. Longer than the Grizzlies definitely wanted it to. And I think probably longer than John Morant wanted it to. And because of that, you've kind of had to do the stages of grief a few different times with John Morant. And
yeah.
It seems like that John Morant fans and a large section of our fan base, the Grizzlies fan base, is in the anger phase again all of a sudden. And listen, I get it, especially after the NBA draft and all of the talk about the new era of the Memphis Grizzlies being ushered in. And to be honest, the way that the national media has been talking about Ja and how he is flagrantly available, as Brian Windhorst would put
it.
I think that Windhorst every single day has talked about Ja Morant. And I will just say, like, talk about him again when we get some news. I don't need to hear again that Ja Morant is available for trade. Yeah, thank you. I get it. I think my favorite tweet over the last few days is Tony Jones, who covers the NBA. He covers the Sixers, the Utah Jazz, for the Athletic, NBA at large.
Yeah.
He had just a phenomenal tweet. And somebody said, what do you think about Ja Morant? Or what do you have any intel on Ja Morant? He was like, he's available for trade. It's like, that's it.
That's
all anybody really knows right now. So Brian Windhorst, I'll hear from you again about Ja Morant when I have some actual news, please.
I wonder how many, like, for what it's worth, a lot of the times with him, it is like either, like this last one that happened earlier this week, that was on Unsportsmanlike. That is the show that precedes all the shows here locally on 92.9. So that's on from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. Knowing the folks around here, got a feeling a lot of us are not listening to that live.
Probably not.
I wonder how many times it's actually just him straight up being asked, like, hey, what are you hearing around the league circles around Ja or, you know, whatever player he ends up talking about? I don't think of all people Brian Windhorst is just going, we're going to talk about Ja today. I'm going to make this about someone I want to talk about.
Sure. I get it. It's just...
But he does talk about it a lot.
Because it causes this cycle to start again, especially in the city of Memphis. It restarts the cycle every single time Ja Morant gets talked about. And I think I understand it a little bit more this time around, because the NBA draft, I think, was a moment where a lot of us thought the Ja Morant trade could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this yesterday on the show to Gabe. The NBA draft lottery for the Grizzlies fell perfectly.
Yes.
Especially when it came to Ja Morant potential trades. The NBA draft did not. Because a team that I like to call a dumbass loser team in the Brooklyn Nets decided to take Brown Jr. and didn't take Acuff, which means Acuff fell to the Kings, who were, in my opinion, the most likely Ja Morant destination until Acuff fell to them. And then there was no reason whatsoever for them to trade for Ja Morant. There's just not.
Right.
Because the money with the Kings for Zach LaVine straight up worked.
Yeah.
And through this whole process, I was under the belief the least complicated trade is probably the one that will happen here with Ja. And I thought Zach LaVine straight up for Ja made sense for both sides. They need a point guard. We needed to get off of Ja Morant. We'll take Zach LaVine.
It's an expiring contract.
He fits into the lineup pretty well.
Right.
And to be honest, if you slide Zach LaVine into the lineup that you have now, that's a playoff team. That's at least a play-in team at minimum. You know, you got Ty Jerome, Zach LaVine, Cedric Howard, Cam Boozer, Zach Edey. That's a really good starting five. I would have loved that. But as soon as that dumbass loser team that broke the Nets took Brown Jr., all of that hope went out the window. And I knew that that stupid team would do it. And listen, I actually think that Brown Jr. is not a terrible pick. I don't think he should have gone at that moment.
Yeah.
But maybe it works out for them. It's the Brooklyn Nets, so probably not. But with Ja Morant, there are a lot of topics to get into,
mm-hmm.
I think, with Ja.
Yeah.
Why are we here? Why are we here is the main one. Where does the blame go? Who's more to blame? The front office, Ja Morant. And I have said a few times, blame is a bit harsh of a word, I think, for me. because a lot of the reasons, in my opinion, the biggest reasons why we are where we are was out of the control of both Ja Morant and the front office.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that in a second. So the reasons why. I want to talk about the reasons why. I'm not going to be placing blame at the feet of Ja Morant, but I'm going to tell you why we're here. I do have a little bit of blame to talk about, and that's how public this has been.
Right.
I do think that that goes toward the front office a little bit, but again, blame might be a little bit too harsh. It's just kind of reasons with what happened during the season.
Uh-huh.
It was difficult to not make this a public ordeal. I think the issue is, though, is it's gone on for so long, and it's made it so awkward now that any hope of reconciliation, I think, is out the window. And that is a hope that a lot of people are holding on to. And again, I said it yesterday, the lineup that the Memphis Grizzlies currently have is quite literally one that you would build in the lab for Ja Morant. It's perfect. You have a couple of shooters on the floor. You have brooding bigs. You have an enforcer in Isaiah Stewart now who could protect your superstar if, I don't know, let's say Lou Dort's dumbass accidentally undercut somebody when he's flying to rim.
Beef Stew would have just picked him up and threw him into the stands.
Yeah, it would have been great. It would have been great. So I want to get into the front office doing it too publicly. I also do think that there was a real conversation about the national media versus the local media here.
Okay.
Because a lot of people have gotten into, well, the media's done this, the media's done this, the media's done this, the media's done this. And I think that some of those complaints, when it comes to the national media, are valid.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the local media too, though. And because, listen, I have some bias here. We're part of the local media.
Right.
So I do feel a little something when somebody brings up the local media and our pursuit of Ja Morant.
Sure.
But I'm just going to be straight up honest with y'all. It benefits us for him to be a Grizzly.
Absolutely.
Always. Always.
Every time.
Every time. Every single day, every hour. It benefits the local media for Ja Morant to be a Grizzly. So we're not trying to push him out of this city. We're just trying to tell y'all what's going on. So we'll get into that. And then talk about fan emotion versus reality. What's going on here? What's the reality versus the fan's emotion? Because I think that the emotion, in my opinion, makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, again, I'm born and raised Memphian. I remember the Grizzlies coming to Memphis, how exciting it was. I was in the pyramid watching those games. I saw them play Kobe and Shaq. I've been here every year. There is no doubt about it. Ja Morant's the biggest superstar we've ever had. And the day he got drafted, we were all thinking parade down Beale Street. There was a moment in 2022, you were thinking parade down Beale Street. Parade inside my city, yeah. That is what we were envisioning with this era of the Memphis Grizzlies. And it is gone. It's gone.
Yeah.
Jaren's gone. Bane's gone. Tyus Jones is gone. Everybody's gone. Important pieces of this team are gone. Hey, Taylor Jenkins, he's back in Milwaukee.
Tyus is a free agent, so he could be coming
Tyus
back, man.
Tyus has struggled the last few years, man.
Tyus
was a great pro.
I love him.
It's a wrap for Tyus, I think.
Can't be a full-on wrap, can it?
It's been rough, dude. It's
Orlando.
Been rough.
Orlando tax. Who's he passing it to? Orlando tax.
It's tough, man. The Tyus stuff has been tough. I love Tyus to death. But let's get into it.
Where do you want to start?
I'm going to start with the reasons why.
Okay.
Because I think that this is the most important part of the Ja Morant conversation. And some of my annoyance with the Ja Morant conversation is people are still bringing up the off-court stuff.
It's been 3+ years.
It's been 3+ years. That's not why we are where we are.
No.
It's just not. It's not.
Mm-mm, no.
Listen, y'all. Ja made some very immature mistakes, and he had to pay the price for them. He got dragged in the national media. We weren't super happy with him here locally. Fans weren't happy with him locally. But the Grizzlies stood by him. We mostly stood by him here in Memphis. And the national media took it too far. Like, there were a couple articles that we don't have to get into that were just borderline.
Yeah.
Borderline, I'll just put it that way.
Just too much.
It was too much.
Yeah.
That was 3+ years ago. That's not why Ja Morant's in trade conversations, in my opinion. It's not. Ja Morant is in trade conversations because of how many basketball games he's played over the last 3 seasons. Ja Morant's in trade conversations because he quit on the team in a game against the Lakers, which some people are trying to give him a pass for, And if you're a John Morant fan, I understand why you're trying to give him a pass for that. Well, he was frustrated. He didn't like the coach. He didn't like the offense. He quit on the team. He's trying to send a message. You don't quit on your team, man. You're the superstar. You are the star guy here in Memphis. And that was also a game that you were winning by a good margin. And then you lost, and the season turned.
I was working that game, by the way. I was viewing that in person, sitting on Radio Row, working with John Ireland and Michael Thompson, two guys who have seen a lot in the NBA over decades. Mind you, not Grizzlies radio people, not Grizzlies media people. I'm talking the Los Angeles Lakers media people, play-by-play, caller. They saw it.
Yeah.
They called it out consistently throughout the entire second half. If it's that visible and that just blatant, that multiple radio calls of the game are calling it out, come on.
Yeah, that's a problem.
To me, that,
you can't
that's,
do that.
That's just about cardinal sin number two.
That is, that
you just,
was
you
the start.
You cannot do that.
Right, that was
full
the,
stop period.
That was the start of how we got here. It is part of, we bring it up a lot, the pie chart.
Yeah.
There's a pie chart of reasons why we are where we are. A portion of that pie chart is Ja quit. And that is something that is difficult, I think, to deal with when you are a Grizzlies team. I think part of my issue with that, too, is some of his frustration, the reason he quit during that game, is he was frustrated with Isolo and the offense. I would like to remind Ja, the last head coach, Taylor Jenkins, one of the reasons he got fired was because he wasn't happy with that offense. Ja was a part of the reason why Isolo got hired. He gave them the green light. He gave them the green light. They didn't do a coaching search. They should have, whatever. To be honest, I actually believe in Tomas Isolo. He struggled last year in a few moments. Ultimately, though, I think he got a lot out of these players. I think he's a good developmental coach. I am curious to see what he looks like with a young roster next year.
And a more full deck.
With a more full deck. He got a lot out of these guys, a lot out of the G League guys.
Walter Clayton had multiple double-digit assist games, brother. Like, keep that in mind.
I think that's where some of my disconnect comes here with maybe what that frustration was, is that point guards thrive in Tomas Isolo's offense. They may not thrive in the way that Ja wants to thrive, but they thrive. They do very well. The numbers are there. If you go look at how many guys plugged in.
Didn't Vince have a couple double-digit assist games, too?
You mean Magic Johnson. Yes, thank you.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
Pardon me.
Yes.
Pardon
me. Magic. Yes. Yes. Vince Magic Johnson Williams. Correct.
Yes. God, Junior.
R.I.P. God, I love Vince Williams Jr.
Isn't he? He's a free agent.
Yeah. He's also coming off of, what, a torn ACL?
Yeah.
We already got one of them. His name's Richard Saunders.
Tater Top Boy.
Yeah, Tater Top Boy. So
I do kind of love him.
Oh, I'm a big fan. Think he might be a really good shooter in the NBA.
We'll get to him with Parker.
Good domestic stash is what a lot of people are calling it.
Yeah.
Draft and stash, domestic draft and stash. But I would like to remind people that one of the reasons Tomas Isolo got hired as quickly as he did was Ja was happy with him. He wanted him to be the head coach. He was part of that decision-making process. So him quitting that early into the season, frustrated with Tomas Isolo, was a bit annoying. I think it's just a bit annoying. Now, at the time, Tomas Isolo, like, I think we all had issues with him. His rotations were a bit silly. Still kind of are silly. Let's see what he looks like with the full deck here, though. But I understood what he was trying to do. And Josh shouldn't have done that, straight up. Just shouldn't have done that. That's something to do in the locker room. Have a conversation with him. Don't quit on your team. Don't quit on your guys. Simple as that. Don't quit on your fans. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Simple as that. So we got that. Okay, so that's out of the way.
Yep.
That's part of it. It's not a huge reason. It's part of it.
It's not a reason.
It's not a reason. It's a reason why his value's down, though. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah.
Y'all want to talk about value with Ja Morant right now and why it's difficult for the Grizzlies to move him? I guarantee
league
that game,
offices that have game, a very, very good memory.
That game
they
is
do
being,
not forget.
That game gets discussed. 100%.
There's no doubt in my mind.
100%. So that's why, in my opinion, though, the biggest reason is the amount of games he's played over the last three seasons. It's his injuries.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not blaming Ja Morant for this. Ja's body failing him is not his fault, especially when a lot of the injuries that Ja Morant had aren't his fault. He got undercut many times.
Yeah.
He stepped on ankles many times. He did a little spin trying to save the basketball against the Spurs. Hurt his calf. Hurt his shoulder getting hit on a pick. All of these things he can't control. But that is why we are where we are. Because at the end of the day, the Memphis Grizzlies are not a franchise that can afford to bet on a guy for a fourth season who hasn't been able to play 50 games. And I'm going to be honest with y'all, hasn't even gotten close. Yeah, he got suspended by the team, by the NBA. Take those suspensions away, he's still not playing 50 games. He's still not playing that amount of games, y'all.
The team won, it was one game.
Yeah.
It
was one game, and it was deserved. It was deserved.
It was a singular game suspension. And again, even to the ones from the league, we're talking about suspensions from 2+ years ago when it comes to like NBA seasons.
Yeah.
This didn't happen last year, the year before that.
He played 9 games in 23-24. He played 50 games in 24-25. And he played 20 games in 25-26. He has played 79 regular season games over the last 3 years. The most damning thing I can say about this, Chandler Parsons played more games for the Memphis Grizzlies in a 3-year span than Ja Morant has. And that's why we are where we are. And here's the thing. It sucks. It sucks. Again, I'm not blaming Ja. I'm telling you why they're looking to trade him. There have also been rumors that he wasn't super happy about the contract stuff, which I think that there is some truth to that.
For sure.
But again, if you're the Grizzlies, I'm not sure you can give him an extension. You can't give somebody an extension for what they were 3 years ago.
No.
You got to give somebody an extension for what they're going to be moving forward. And I think that the Grizzlies have doubts about what Ja could be moving forward. It's very true. Ja might go somewhere and turn back the clock and become the Ja Morant of the past. He could become the 22-23 Ja who was one of the best players in the NBA and at one point was at the top of the MVP ladder. We know that Ja's there. We've seen Ja drop 40 points multiple times in the playoffs. My fear, though, and it's the same fear that the Grizzlies have, it's the same fear that the rest of the NBA has, is that Ja might not be able to come back. And again, it's not Ja's fault. It's his body. The style of basketball that Ja plays does not lend itself to a long career for a small guard who doesn't have a shooting ability.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a jumper. He's got a good floater. He's an unbelievable around the rim. He's an excellent passer. But he's an undersized guard who shoots 32% from three and doesn't really have a mid-range game. He didn't change the way he played. His style of basketball led to some injuries. It did. Again, they weren't his fault.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and blame
but
John.
But I do think if he had evolved his style of basketball a little bit, he may have been able to avoid some of those injuries or at least avoided some of those bang-ups that he had.
Sure.
And those are the doubts that the rest of the NBA has. That's why his value is so low. That's why the Grizzlies may have to attach a pick to him to move off of him. I don't think they're going to waive him or stretch him. I would hate that, to be honest. I would rather just have him sit on the team than do that. I don't want to pay Ja to go away. That doesn't make any sense to me. If you have to attach something to him, you have to attach something to him. But I don't like that. I don't want to just wave and stretch Ja. I don't think that that's really a possibility. Some people have floated it out there. But the main reason that we are where we are is because of the injuries. Quitting on the team is part of it. I think that some of the drama is part of it. What happened overseas, part of it.
Sure.
But that leads me to my next point. The front office. The front office isn't without blame in this Grizz Next Gen era for what happened. I think that Zach Kleiman's an excellent drafter. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of misses, but for the most part, dude hits. He does his best work at the NBA draft. And when you're in a market like Memphis, you need that because that's how you're going to build your team.
Yeah.
It's going to be through trades, but it's going to be mostly through the draft. You have to be good at drafting NBA players. Zaire was a huge miss. David Roddy was a miss. Jake LaRavia somewhere in the middle. He was a miss for you ultimately, though. Didn't play meaningful minutes for you at all. So if y'all want to put that in the miss, sure. Still an NBA player.
Yeah.
I think that the front office, though, allowed this to become bigger than it should have been. And I think that the front office was okay with Ja becoming a bit of a villain in the public. Because I do think that part of it was they needed the fan base to be okay with trading him. And they allowed some of this to become too public. I think the spats, there were some leaks.
Sure.
And if you were trying to move off of Ja Morant, just try to move off of Ja Morant. But a lot of this happened in the public, and that is tricky. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know if it was avoidable. I just have some uncomfortability with it.
Right. I think I more so, this is not a trying to give the front office a pass here, because by no means are they faultless and blameless in where this has gone and how this situation has kind of devolved. But when we're talking about this kind of in the full context, so much of this went public because it straight up happened in the public eye.
Right.
Like,
sure.
Quitting on the team. We all saw it. There's no doubt. Like, there was... It was on TV.
Right.
We have the video of it. Okay. Ja's reaction to it after the game in post-game pressers. That was on camera. That's on video. We have the audio. Like, we heard what he said.
Right.
And then the course of action following that, the suspension, then the rest of the season happens. That part of it has to play out in public. There's no way around that. That's not transparency. That's not one person putting it out there. That is, oh, this is just league wire. This is just the transactions. This is just, oh, why isn't he playing this game? Well, it's not a DNP. They didn't bring him.
Right.
We know that. So some of those little things, it's like there's only one way for it to go, and that's in the public eye.
Good point.
But at the same time, if we're going all the way back to the beginning, there have been immature decisions made by this front office.
Yes.
And I think we're at a point now where a lot of those immature decisions, while they're kind of coming to a head in a negative way with the current end of this era, we can only hope and look forward and say, well, they have to have learned from that somehow,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think that ultimately what happened, because I'm going to make this very clear.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies stood by Ja.
Yes.
For a very long time.
Agree.
Those of you that are trying to act like they haven't, go touch grass. Go. It's insane to me. I'm going to be honest. It's insane to me. There have been a lot of moments where most teams would have cut bait, and they didn't. They stood by him. They gave him another contract when things were going on.
He's still making $40 million a year.
They tried to bring in a new coaching staff to make him happy. There was a lot of stuff that they did. The trades were bad. The Dylan Brooks situation was poorly handled.
Sure.
Still, I think some people are forgetting how bad Dylan Brooks was in the playoffs before they moved off of him and how much of a distraction he was.
Preach.
The main issue with the Dylan Brooks situation was they didn't replace him.
Right.
That was the problem. It wasn't moving off of Dylan. It was allowing that void to exist, that mm-hmm. void of leadership, that void of edge, that void of defense. They allowed that to exist. That was the main problem. Marcus Smart, it was a swing that I still think makes sense, but ultimately was poor. Then moving off of Marcus Smart, not very good. They didn't get very good assets back for him. Some people still try to blame them for Steven Adams. It's not their fault that Steven Adams' knee exploded randomly on a play. It's not their fault that Steven Adams didn't want to have surgery. That's not their fault.
No,
they
had to move off of him. That lands to me in the injury category. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to sit here and blame the front office for, oh no, injury.
Well, and again, the main reasons the Grizzlies have been a bad basketball team over 3 years is the injuries. They have been a historically injured team. Historic.
Yeah.
When you look at the most injured teams in NBA history, guess what you're going to see at the top of those lists? Three Memphis Grizzlies. 3 seasons of the Memphis Grizzlies you're going to see.
How many 10-day guys did
we play
last year?
It's been difficult. Oh, my God. It's been difficult. You brought up one yesterday to me. I couldn't even remember. Koloko.
Yeah, Christian Koloko.
Yeah. Totally forgot that he was a Memphis Grizzlies.
Kareem Lopez just stealing his number like that. I can't believe this.
So
Grizz legend.
It is. I do think that the front office, though, when I say that they, I think, they alienated him a bit this season. And
yeah,
that I have some uncomfortability with. Again, I don't, a lot of the points that you brought up, I agree with. You're right. Most of this happened in public. It happened on the court. It happened in pressers. There's no way to avoid it. The whole Jersey night thing was odd.
That was weird.
There's still not a clear idea of what fully happened there. Here's the thing. Not every player did the jersey that night.
And they usually don't.
The injured
don't.
Guys usually don't.
They don't.
Ja was a part of that group. However, it was a special circumstance.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and in most people's opinion, that was Ja's last moment. Let him do the damn jersey. Let him do it. There's no reason to not let him do it. Let him do it.
Right.
It became a thing. It's little errors like that where some inexperience from a younger front office is probably why it led to those things. It's just inexperience.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the main reason we are where we are, the main reason Ja is where he is, the main reason this team is where he is, injuries across the board the last three seasons. There's no doubt about it. Yes, they missed on a couple of draft picks. They hit on most of them. Yes, the Dylan Brooks situation didn't go down great. Marcus Smart was a miss of a trade. Otherwise, it's been pretty good. Pretty good moves by the Memphis Grizzlies. And again, this NBA draft that happened a few days ago, I think is proof positive that we got to see how this thing plays out with Zach Kleiman. We do. This isn't me going crazy and doing backflips for Zach Kleiman. It's just across the NBA, it is so difficult to have a competent front office. And that is, the Grizzlies have a competent front office. They do. They do. They get value for their players. They are in a terrible situation right now with Ja Morant. It became too public. Ja is oft injured. He is a bit moody of a superstar. And he is owed a lot of money.
Yes.
Those are the reasons it is difficult to move Ja Morant right now. There's not some grand conspiracy from the Grizzlies. There's not some grand conspiracy from the NBA. There's certainly not one from the local media. And that's what I want to get to next. The national media, I do think, has been using this story to get views and clicks, because Ja Morant is someone that gets views and clicks. There's no doubt about it. It's why Brian Windhorst, it's why they're asking about it all the time. It's why they're talking about it every day. It is a hot topic in the NBA. Giannis is gone. The Trae Young stuff is settled. This is the big story of player who is unhappy in his city. And that's another thing. Ja doesn't want to be here either, y'all. He doesn't. I understand the hope that he wants to be here. He doesn't. Because if he did, they would have reconciled by now. It is what we all want.
Yeah.
Because again, it is best for all of us. Fans, media, FedEx Forum, everybody. Businesses downtown. It is best for everybody for Ja Morant to be a Memphis Grizzly. Right now, to me, that is not realistic because of everything we just talked about. It is not realistic for Ja Morant to be a Memphis Grizzly anymore. It sucks. It's not what anybody of us, it's not what anybody wants. It's certainly not what I want. It's not what you want.
Nope.
My favorite days on this radio station were coming in here talking about how awesome Ja Morant was the day after they drafted Ja. The hope that Ja Morant gave this city. It was the first real time I think that we had hope for a championship. G&G was incredible. I will hold that era dear forever. Close to my heart. I don't think any of us really thought that team could win a championship. But we were like, we're going to ride it out. These guys identify with the city in a way that few teams do in sports history. We're going to ride out with this team. We're going to go to war with this team every night. And you know what that team never did? They never quit. Never quit.
Nope.
Never quit in a single game. Left it out there. We all wish that Ja Morant would be a Grizzly for his life. I know he's got the tattoo on his back. That's not a lifetime contract.
No.
It's not a life contract. It's not a lifetime. It's not.
It's not.
A lot of people have tattoos. There's Naz Reid tattoos right now in Minnesota. Naz Reid is in Charlotte now.
Too soon.
Too
soon.
I get it. He's the biggest superstar we've ever had here. He's good for businesses. He's good for morale. He's good for hope. And I do want to make this very clear. He's good for the community. He's good in the community.
Absolutely.
Ja does a lot. We're not ignoring those things.
No, and even on top of all of the other good, the off-the-court good, on the court, I still think he can be a more than good player.
I do too.
He can still be a great player.
But if you had to bet money on it, does he play 60 games next year?
No.
That's the problem.
I'm not throwing my money away. What are you talking about?
And that's why we are where we are. And
absolutely,
that is why, yes, I think that some of the gripes with the national media with the way that this Ja Morant thing has been covered are valid. I have an issue with people going at the local media here because we have incredible reporters here for local media. We really do. Drew Hill, DeMichael Cole, so many good ones here.
D-Mike was just in here.
D-Mike,
he's great.
He's great. They're trying to tell you the truth. They are telling you what's happening.
Yes.
They're telling you the facts of what is going on. That is their job. Jeff Calkins, too. There's so many good ones. By the way, I was in a bookstore this past weekend.
Was Jeff there?
In the rare section of the books. It was a Goodwill bookstore.
Uh-huh.
Great, great bookstore on Poplar in Caryville. It said, rare books, Jeff Calkins. I was like, what in the world?
What?
That was funny. But
he just leaves reminders for us everywhere.
It is beneficial to all of us for Ja Morant to be a Memphis Grizzly. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
It's good for all of us. It's good for morale. We're more happy. We're happier coming in here talking on the radio when we get to talk about good things with Ja Morant.
Yes.
That is a time of the past. And I understand that sometimes you need to have that anger go somewhere. Feels like some people have chosen the local media. Is it the local media's fault? How is it the local media's fault? Well, you're not talking about the front office. We just did for 20 minutes. We do all the time. I criticize that front office when they deserve to be criticized. I will criticize Ja when he deserves to be criticized. I will tell you the truth as best as I can with what I hear, what I know. And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of people know more than I do, and they're saying the same damn thing. They're not trying to lie to you. We're not trying to slander Ja. We're not trying to paint this picture of Ja. Ja's a good kid. He's been through a lot. It's been a tough few years for Ja Morant. The thing he loves most in life is playing basketball, and he hasn't been able to do that because of things that are out of his control. It is difficult to come to grips with that. It is good for the city to have Ja Morant in this city. But sometimes things come to an end, and that is where it feels like we are with Ja Morant. Unless by some miracle, Ja Morant and Zach Kleiman can sit down in a room together, lock the door, throw the key away, and come out reconciled. But I'm telling you, I've asked. Doesn't seem very possible right now.
No.
Ja's frustrated. The Grizzlies are frustrated. It is probably best for them to separate. It is probably best for the Grizzlies to move into this next era and let it be Cam Boozer's team. New coach, new medical team, new players.
Yeah.
That is probably what is best. It doesn't feel good. It sucks. We never got a parade. We never had the postseason run that we wanted. But that is the reality of where we are with Ja Morant. So I understand that you have big emotions about it. And it's okay to have big emotions about it. But I promise you, there is no conspiracy against Ja Morant here. The reason we are where we are, because of the injuries he quit on his team, and the rest of the NBA knows that. It's not some secret.
Nope.
I think that's where I've been getting it twisted with people. They're like, well, the local media talking about this is why his value is so low. Talking about what?
Talking about stuff that happened on national television.
His game count is public information. Google it. It's on ESPN. Go to his page.
I'm looking at it right now.
Underneath it, it's going to say 20 games for last season. That is why we are where we are.
I'm looking at it right now.
The value of Ja Morant is so low.
28.5 minutes a game.
That is why this era probably needs to come to an end.
Yeah.
It stinks. None of us wanted it. I wish Ja the best.
Absolutely. And I even to that, no matter what, whether it's here or with another franchise, the most surprising outcome to me would be if he does not have a second act. I think he is going to have another second act in his career, whether it be here or with another franchise, paired up with another star or not.
That's why the one thing I don't understand is why a team won't take a swing.
That's
to be honest, I think that Charlotte should call. I still think Miami should, too.
Look. Okay, with Miami, this is a touch into the weeds. They don't have the mechanisms to make it happen.
I thought I saw that the money with like Andrew Wiggins and Jovic would work.
Wiggins and Jovic would work, but at that point they're gutting their team. Also, that would require Wiggins to pick up his player option.
I see.
Because it's not
a bit complicated.
Correct.
Okay. Either way, if a team, if my advice to NBA teams out there, buy low on Ja.
Absolutely.
Because if it works out, it's going to be amazing for you. It's going to be amazing for you. I wish Ja the best. I wish it would have worked out here in Memphis, but right now it doesn't seem like it will. All right.
It does not.
When we come back, I'm going to be joined by the president of the Memphis Touchdown Club, Greg Cotton. Stick around. You're listening to Connor Dunning on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. I am now honored to be joined by the president of the Memphis Touchdown Club, Greg Cotton. Greg, how are you doing?
Hey, I am great. I am great, Connor. Thank you for having me today.
Yes, sir. Well, we are so thrilled to once again be a partner with the Memphis Touchdown Club for the 2026 Speaker Series presented by Landers Auto Group. It's an excellent, excellent lineup of scheduled speakers from July 27th all the way to November 23rd. And all of the meetings will be held in the evening on Mondays, unless noted, obviously, at the Hilton Memphis Hotel. Mr. Cotton, if you could just go through these wonderful speakers for me, I think our listeners would be very excited to hear what the lineup is this year.
Yeah, Connor, we have really been growing our footprint around the country, and it has been so helpful in order, you know, helping us get a really good lineup for our club members and the public to come visit us and learn all about college football, because that's what this is all about. It doesn't matter if you're an Alabama fan, a Tennessee fan, a Mississippi fan, whatever. It's college football. That's what the Touchdown Club is all about. Now, what we've got this year for our membership, July 27, we've got Philip Montgomery from Mississippi State. August 10, we've got ESPN SEC Network personality Greg McElroy. August 24, we've got Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. September 14, we've got Keith Carter from Ole Miss. On an unusual meeting on the 22nd, it's a Tuesday, September, we've got former voice of the Crimson Tide, Eli Gold. On September 28, we've got Heather Dinich with ESPN. October 5, we have a big Tennessee night with a lot of former Tennessee players there to tell stories. October 19, we have head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores, Clark Lee. November 1, we've got Charles Huff, University of Memphis. And November 23, we've got Alyssa Lang with the SEC Network. And just let me tell you, and just so we don't forget, I want everybody to understand, all of the Memphis Touchdown Club events are held to benefit the Bonner Children's Hospital.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's actually what I wanted to ask you about next, is how y'all got involved with the Bonner Children's Hospital, and why does making sure the Bonner has the funds that they need mean so much to the Memphis Touchdown Club?
Because there's no one in the Touchdown Club that either hasn't had a child at Le Bonner, a grandchild at Le Bonner, a church member at Le Bonner, a neighbor at Le Bonner. Le Bonner touches everyone in our area. And we couldn't be more proud than to have been able to partner with them to raise funds for that cause.
Yes, sir. We do a lot of work with the Bonner Children's Hospital, and it is extremely, extremely important to the city of Memphis, but it is also extremely important to us. So thank you again for having this amazing speaker series to help benefit Le Bonner Children's Hospital. And if you want to help out Le Bonner Children's Hospital, all you have to do is go to memphistouchdownclub.com to purchase your 2026 Memphis Touchdown Club membership or individual meeting seats. The membership cost for all 10 events is $550. Individual meeting seats cost $65, and the cost includes dinner and the speakers program. And Mr. Cotton, one of the reasons I am so excited about the Memphis Touchdown Club and this speaker series specifically is, you know, we are in a day and age of college football where it feels like a lot of the conversation around college football right now is about the business. It's about television deals, conference realignment, this, that, and the other. But at the Memphis Touchdown Club, when you are there, you're talking about football. And it is the reason we all love college athletics. It's about the football. It's about the pageantry. It's about the tradition. And the Memphis Touchdown Club really helps promote that.
That is correct. We're pleased to do that. And one of the things, let everyone know this too, one of the other things that the Memphis Touchdown Club does is we honor a prep player every week, player of the week. And it's really cool to talk to these young people, find out their plans, that meet their parents. It's a lot of fun, and it's a really good cause. I mean, because we support not only college athletics, but our local high school athletics.
Yes, sir.
And I don't think there's enough of that, because team sports is where it's at. It's where you learn life.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. And one more time, just go to the memphistouchdownclub.com to purchase your 2026 Memphis Touchdown Club membership or individual seats. And again, I cannot recommend this event enough. Everybody here at 929 FM ESPN have been to the speaker series, and every single time you walk away wishing that you could get a little bit more. Mr. Cotton, before I let you go here, I did want to pick your brain about the upcoming season for Memphis football. On November 1st, a Sunday coming up, we are going to have new Memphis head coach Charles Huff as one of the speakers at the Memphis Touchdown Club. And I just simply wanted to ask you, what are your expectations for Charles Huff in year one at the University of Memphis?
Well, I've had the opportunity to meet Coach Huff, and I was very impressed. People I have talked to that know these things, that, you know, they're not Sunday morning quarterbacks like me, but they know this stuff. They will tell you that he's the real deal. He's tough. He wants to win, and he will instill that in these players. And I think it's a good relationship. I think it's going to be good for the program. It will ultimately be good for the city. I think he understands the burden that's on his shoulders. And from what I understand, he's the guy that can get it done. So I think they're going to have a great season. I really do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I typically agree with you. We had Charles Huff on the show a few times already this year, and we're looking forward to trying to get him on the show during the regular season. And every single time we talk to him, he just has the right mindset, and he seems like the right man for the job. I was absolutely thrilled when the University of Memphis hired him. And the biggest thing about